Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 13, we'll read verses 31 through 35. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1536. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 13:31. So when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in the Son of Man, God will also glorify the Son of Man in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this I will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Most of the world doesn't read the Bible. What does God do? He shows the world pictures of himself and the sufficiency of his grace through you and me. Those are the words of Bible teacher Kaya Arthur in her book, Search My Heart, O God. She also notes, "Beloved, do you ever wonder what our purpose is on this earth? Why doesn't God simply take us out of this world with all of its pain and sufferings?" According to the Bible, one of our purposes for remaining on earth is to be the light of Jesus Christ in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In Philippians 2:4-16, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." There are times, beloved, when God will place you in the middle of trials, a hospital stay, a rejection, a financial blow. He will let you hurt as others hurt, knowing that the way you handle it will be a testimony, that your response will show others that there's something awesomely different about you. We are commanded to walk just as Jesus Christ walked, in complete, absolute submission to the will of God, without grumbling or disputing. In the Gospels, you never read of Jesus complaining, arguing, or resisting, even when he faced the cross. In a prophetic look at the future Messiah, the Savior in Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth." You know, when you grab a sheep to shear its wool, it doesn't utter a sound. But when you go after a hog, it squeals to high heaven. Which do you resemble in times of difficulty, affliction? A squealing pig or a silent lamb? Romans 8:36-39 expresses it this way. We are being put to death all day long as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For we are convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The beginning of the 13th chapter of John opens this way. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to be with his Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus loved his disciples to the end. Jesus loves us to the end. After supper, Jesus rose and he laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel. When Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." What is love? Our Daily Bread topic for April asked that question. When a group of young children was asked, "What is love?" they gave some thoughtful answers. 4-year-old Adam said, "Love means everybody has a family." Another child answered, "When my grandma got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and polish her toenails anymore. So my grandpa does it for her, even now when his hands got arthritis too." When Jesus began washing his disciples' feet, Peter recoiled at the thought. It just didn't seem right. The Master and the Lord bending low and touching my dirty feet. Yet Jesus washed their feet to teach them what it means to serve others. After teaching his followers for 3 years, Jesus gave his life for our sins. Humility and sacrifice, the true nature of love. So how do we learn to love sacrificially? We can start by asking God for his direction. He created us and he's given us gifts to use in serving others. We can keep our eyes open to the needs of those around us. We can help someone with a project or a need, provide a meal for strangers, a friend, a neighbor, pray for someone that we might not get along with. The people of Le Chemin, France, risked everything to help save the lives of as many as 5,000 individuals, many of them Jewish children, during the Nazi occupation. The refugees fleeing their homes were hidden in the community's homes and farms. The townspeople were inspired by their pastor, André Trocmé, who called on his congregation to help, and he referenced the words of Deuteronomy 10:19. "You are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." Those were God's words to the Israelites. God reminds us that the whole earth belongs to God, yet God chose to love the Israelites and lead them from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. God is letting him know that he also cares for other people in vulnerable or unfamiliar situations, including people who are not part of the nation of Israel. Perhaps if you've been in a job or you've lived in the same neighborhood or gone to the same church for many years, God may give you the opportunity to show kindness to someone who feels like a foreigner. I felt like a foreigner last Monday. I often have felt that way in medical facilities. I had gone to see Dave at Fairhaven. Now, thankfully, I had been to the rehabilitation building at Fairhaven before, so after driving in and out of the parking lot, I found a parking space on my way to the right building. Also, thankfully, Dave's daughter Angie had told me that he was on the third floor, and she had given me the code to punch in to enter, and she sent me a picture of the door with his room number. All was good, except he wasn't there. I began to have a conversation with his very friendly nurse, who was in the hallway with her cart. She told me that he was in the gym downstairs, and with a smile, she gently told me, "You can't go in there. He'll be back for lunch." She explained that it's best to come in the afternoon. She went on to tell me that he was doing good and was one of her early risers. She loaned me a pen and a piece of paper, and as I stood using her cart to write my note, we talked. She told me that her two sons were students at John Carroll. Smilingly, she explained, "It's so expensive, but that's the way my people do things." I wasn't really sure what she meant, but I connected with that's a Catholic school, so I mentioned the Catholics in my family. My daughter-in-law, grandson, and granddaughter, and I said that my grandson was confirmed Sunday before last. I went on to say that he and his sister went to St. Francis Xavier Church preschool, and at the time his mom worked there. Lo and behold, that's where her boys went. And neither one of us recognized the other boy's name, but we surmised that they probably knew each other, as her oldest son was born in 2009, the same as Ethan, and the other in 2010. Simon and Sebastian Habinas. She even pulled up pictures on her phone from the preschool class. I didn't see Ethan, but who knows? She went on to say that they started in 2013 because that's when we came here. I asked, "Where did you come from?" And she said, "The Philippines." In some ways, since I have lived in this area my whole life, she was the foreigner. Yet that day, I was the foreigner, and she was welcoming me into her and Dave's place. In the early 1900s, laws restricted black people and immigrants in the United States from buying property in Coronado, California. A black man named Gus Thompson, who had been born in slavery, had purchased land earlier and had built a boarding house in Coronado before the discriminating laws were passed. In 1939, Gus rented to an Asian family and eventually sold the land to them. Nearly 85 years later, after selling the property, some members of the Asian family are donating their proceeds from the sale to help black college students. They're also working to name a center at San Diego State University after Gus and his wife Emma. Gus Thompson and his wife helped a family that didn't look like them. In return, that family is blessing many other people. In Leviticus 23:35, God instructed his people, "Help the poor as you would a foreigner and stranger, so that they can continue to live among you. Treat them with hospitality and love." I was surprised and pleased to get the email from Ann, the director of McKenna Children's Foundation. Our precious Teresita has grown up and has graduated. This month she will start attending Mount Kenya University. She'll be studying for a Bachelor of Science degree in Hospitality Management. She should complete the degree in 3 years, followed by a three-month internship. Ann goes on to say that we think this degree is perfect for Teresita's dynamic personality. It would include also all sorts of business classes that can be generalized to other fields if Teresita wants this in her future. I couldn't help but remember the health issues that Teresita had at one time. Through prayers, medical treatment, nutritional adjustments, the changing of schools, Teresita has done well to complete this phase of studies and be invited to the university. I recall Anne talking about her being a little dynamo and her love of drama at one point. A special girl has become a special young woman. With her in Kenya and us in Atmar, so far apart, yet through God's love and grace, we have connected and blessed one another's lives. Who but God knows the ripple effect? Teresita's major also spoke to my heart. In this dark and perverse world in which we strive to shine, we should major in hospitality, the hospitality of God. We could reach out with peace, with love, and be close to those who suffer. That night in the upper room, Jesus gave Judas Iscariot the piece of bread, signifying the one who would betray him. And Jesus said, "Go and do what you do quickly." And Satan entered the heart of Judas. When Judas had gone out into the night, Jesus told his disciples that God is glorifying him, the Son of Man. And Jesus said, "Little children, I shall be with you a little longer, and where I'm going you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let us bring love to every person and every situation in which God allows for our lives. Most of the world doesn't read the Bible. What does God do? He shows the world pictures of himself and the sufficiency of his grace through you and me. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to love you and others. May people know that we are Jesus' disciples by our love. Amen.